welcome to tonight's Bible study. This may be more than one part. We're not sure. We had finished up how we got the Bible last week, and I just decided I wanted to delve into Matthew 24. We will go very slowly through here. There's so much here in depth, and as I said, we probably won't get through the whole chapter. We'd really be rushing it to try to do that. But as I do a lot of times in our Sunday school here at Calvary Baptist, I'm going to back up to the previous passage. It would be chapter 23, verse 37, where Jesus is lamenting over Jerusalem. And he says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." You see, there again, Jesus does not force himself on anybody. You were not willing. Then he said this, "See, your house is left to you desolate." Your house is left to you desolate. Now he's looking forward to something, to an event that's going to happen. "For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now, this is another prophetic utterance that many people believe this will be at the end of the tribulation period, towards the end of the tribulation period. So that's the setup for this first verse in Matthew 24. It says, "Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple." Okay, so he's in the temple. Now, let's just back up a little bit and get some background here. This is what we call Herod's temple. It was before that, it was called Zerubbabel's temple. This is the same temple that the Hebrews rebuilt after they came back from their 70 years in Babylon. And they were allowed by the Persian ruler at the time, Cyrus, to go back, rebuild the temple, rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. So they built Zerubbabel's temple, but it wasn't anything as glorious as Solomon's had been. And so Herod, who always liked to impress everyone with his building projects, and also to ingratiate himself with the Jewish people, he undertook this refurbishing and remodeling and expanding of Zerubbabel's temple, and it became known as Herod's temple. And it wasn't completed until like 61 AD, and it was destroyed in 70 AD. So during Jesus' ministry on the earth here, it's still being renovated. And so they were adding buildings to it. And so Jesus is coming out of the main part of the temple. And it says, "And his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple." And so they were like, it's like if you're building something, you drive by it and you want to see how it, you know, how it's coming along. We have houses in this area right now that are being built, and sometimes I like to drive by and see how they're coming along. And so the disciples were saying, "Look here, Jesus, look at this new building that they've added onto the temple. Look what they've done here," you know, and they're really impressed by that. Jesus, however, was not impressed. Verse 2, "And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things?" Of course they did, but "assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." So I'm sure this was very shocking to the disciples. And we know now that this did happen in 70 AD. And the Romans came in. They were upset because some of the Jewish zealots kept rebelling. So they said, "We've had enough of this." So they went in and they destroyed Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple. And the Roman soldiers wanted to get the gold. And so they started a fire that was extremely hot. And they actually, to melt the gold, and they would get in there and try to pry everything apart and actually pried the stones apart to get to the molten gold that was in there. And so Jesus' prediction came out, you know, exactly true. So then he says, "Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives," verse 3, "the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, That's the first question. When will these things be? In other words, when is this going to happen about the temple being destroyed? Mm-hmm. The second question, though, was, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now, here in Matthew, Jesus answers the second question. The first question is actually answered in Luke, which we won't get to that today. Luke 20, I believe it is. So right now, Jesus is taking the last question they asked, and he's talking about that. And that last question is, what will be the sign of your coming? It's kind of a two-part question. What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now, one thing before we go any further, you have to understand. And if you don't understand this, you'll get this chapter all messed up prophecy-wise. The disciples at this time were representing the Jewish people, Israel. We know now that the disciples were the leaders of the early church. But at this point in time, he's speaking to the disciples as if he is speaking to the nation of Israel. You have to understand that Israel is the focus here, not the church. Not the church. This is Israel he's speaking about right here. It says, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Now, some of you that have been following our studies know that when we studied Revelation, we were of the opinion that the Israel will mistake the Antichrist for the Messiah. They won't mistake him for Christ because they don't, they won't mistake him for Jesus, but they'll mistake him for another Messiah. And this is exactly what he's talking about here. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, meaning I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Now, you know, we see this all the time. There's always been wars. But apparently what this is talking about, the wars are coming more rapidly, and you're seeing it just like one after the other, like dominoes falling. And then he says, see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. He's saying, yeah, these are bad things that are happening, but understand that to get to the end point, these have to happen. So don't be troubled by it.
Yeah, and a lot of people get this confused. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, I can see why they can, because they're thinking this is today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Just like we talked about, people think that all the technology is the mark of the beast. This is the mark of the beast, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. But he's saying the end is not yet. Then he says, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. In other words, these things are going to happen. And we've seen in the past century, you know, World War I, World War II, and the Cold War, and all these different things. And then he says there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Of course, we've had that. But he says all these are the beginning of sorrows. So we may very well be in this area of the beginning of sorrows. Mm-hmm. It says, then they will deliver you up. Now he's talking about the nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now, this could also be, when this happens, and this, what he's talking about right now, could be happening, let's say, shortly before the tribulation starts, and it could be Israel being hated by everybody and being persecuted by everybody, that makes them ready to accept the peace treaty that the Antichrist offers them, which begins the real 7-year tribulation period. It could be that they get persecuted so much that they are looking for protection. They feel like the whole world's against them, and the Antichrist swoops in and says, okay, I'm going to make peace between you and these nations. And they go, oh, he's the Messiah. And then we had the first 3.5 years of this false peace. Could very well be that. The other thing, where does it say that? All nations. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. That's important. Because Israel became a nation again in 1948. And ever since they've become a nation, the United States has been their ally. And there's been a few other nations that have been their ally. Great Britain has been their ally. But it says here, it's going to get to the point where they are hated by all nations.
Well, see, then this would have to be after the rapture.
Probably so. Probably so. Well, because when all the Christians of our country are removed, then, you know, there won't be. Right now, it's the Christians that are saying, hey, we need to be good to Israel.
Yeah.
And when we're gone, there won't be that restraining force. So you're probably correct on that. I just want to make the point that right now that can't happen because there are nations that would side with Israel. But it is getting worse and worse. And some of our most...
If all nations are going to hate them, then we can't be here.
And right now our relations are strained with Israel. The two of the last three presidents we've had have been anti-Israel presidents.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can see the writing on the wall, as they say.
Well, I don't know how come I wrote this. I must have been listening to somebody else. But it says these birth pains right here, they don't happen all at one time.
No. They're just kind of, and a little bit closer together. Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. Then he says, at this time, many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. We are seeing hate today. It's just incredible hate among people. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Yeah. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. I was just talking to a friend today, and he said, did you see on the news where, there was a bunch of people, it was like a mob of people that went into, what's that store, Nordstrom's? Is it like a jewelry place? Anyway, they went into this store and they just cleaned it out totally. They just absolutely took everything out and as I understand, they got away with it. They just cleaned them out.
Now, help me to understand this because I'm getting a little confused here. From way you've taught me before, This here is not talking about what's happening today. Because if it's lawlessness, then the Holy Spirit, like we read in Ephesians, he'll be taken out. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
That would be after the rapture, right? But and I see that. The point that I'm making is we're building up to that.
We're
going that direction.
Okay.
That's
okay.
All I'm saying. Okay. We're good. Mm-hmm. It says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Now, that's a very interesting statement right there. He who endures to the end, and the end would be the second coming of Christ, the end of this period of wrath.
Mm-hmm.
He who endures to the end shall be saved. So are we talking about salvation here? Or are we talking about just getting through the tribulation and getting on into the millennial kingdom? And are we talking about what I've talked about before, the possibility that there will come a time after the rapture, that after the rapture occurs, the age of grace is over, and these people need to maintain their faith? Because we are never told as Christians that we have to endure to the end. We're saved by grace.
Right,
and
so this can't be talking about us.
It can't be talking about us. And so, again, we're looking at Israel trying to get through to this, through this period. And we know that many of them will be killed. There's only a remnant that's going to be saved. We found that out in Revelation. It says, and this gospel, the good news of the kingdom, will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Now, I've heard preachers say that this has to happen before the rapture. But I've heard other preachers say that, no, after the rapture, that's when you're going to see so much witnessing going on. You're going to have the 144,000. You're going to have an angel flying over giving the gospel. You're going to have the two witnesses giving the gospel. And so that will complete the task of getting it all over to all the nations of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we know we're talking about Israel? Here's a good example right here. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, now people from Israel would know what he's talking about here because they would look back in their history and they've read Daniel and they know, oh yeah, Daniel talked about that happening. So he is speaking to Israel, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place. So when you see this abomination, this image, this whatever it's going to be, idol, standing in the holy place, which would be in a temple, whoever reads, let him understand. So again, this whoever reads, let him understand, is offset by parentheses.
Plus, wouldn't you say that they don't have a temple now, so they're not making no sacrifices now?
No. So again, this has to be in the future. It has to be at a time when a temple has been built.
That's right.
And so he is saying, you people that are alive at this time and happen to be reading this at this time. So in the future, these people that are still alive at that time during the tribulation, they've got their Bibles and they're reading exactly what we're reading right now. Mm-hmm. And he goes, whoever reads this, let him understand. So in other words, he's saying, if this applies to you, in other words, if there's a temple and you're seeing this image built or an idol built, pay attention. He says, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Now, they don't all do this. Some of them do, and the ones that do are going to be divinely protected, according to what we've learned in Revelation. Mm-hmm. But many of them will not. And then he says, this is how urgent he says, let him who is on the housetop not go down and take anything out of his house. In other words, he says, when you first see this happening, there's not going to be much time. And then he says, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But what are those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath? Now, there's another indication that he's talking to Israel. Israel observes the Sabbath. The church does not. And so the fact he used that term, the Sabbath, means, yes, I'm talking to Israel.
Did you tell us, because I got this on, I just wrote it, is one-third of Jews, the remnant, flee to Petra.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. And now that's what most scholars believe. I mean, we can't say for sure, but it's like a big mountainous area, and they have these caves that go right in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Many people believe that, and I believe that too, mm-hmm. but you just can't say for sure. Mm-hmm. And it says, and so again, I want to make the point that he used the term Sabbath here. Okay. So there's another indication he's talking to Israel. Mm-hmm. It says, for then, meaning at that time, this time period, there will be great tribulation. Now, we're told by many scholars that the last three and a half years mm-hmm. is simply called the great tribulation, where the first three and a half is not. It's just called tribulation.
Right.
So then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. In other words, never again will it get this bad. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So if Jesus decided not to come back, the humans would have destroyed the earth, basically. He's saying, if I hadn't intervened, humankind and God's judgments that he poured upon them would have destroyed everything. So Jesus coming back, not only save the Jewish people and save the Gentiles whose faith got them to the end of the tribulation, but save the earth from being totally annihilated. He says, then at that time, just put that in there. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ. And again, when we see that word, you can substitute Messiah. Here's the Messiah. Or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I've told you beforehand. So he's saying all these people are going to show up claiming to be the Messiah and don't believe it. And now people reading this are going to say, well, how are we going to tell the difference? And then he tells you, he's going to say right now, this is how you know when it's me. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. Look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. He says, basically, he's saying, now, when I come, it's going to be like this. Mm-hmm. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. So what he's saying is, when I come, everybody's going to see it. It won't be, hey, I saw him over here. I heard that the Messiah was over here. It's not going to be that. There's not going to be any question. Everybody's going to see it. And then he talks about, that's an expression of judgment when he says, wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Because he says, when I come, everybody's going to see me and there's going to be judgment. And he's, that's how you'll know. And so he says, so looking back on that, that's how they know that the others are false. Because everybody doesn't see him at the same time.
But, yeah, and then in rapture, nobody sees that, period.
Right.
We're just taken out.
Right.
These people are going to see it.
Very interesting stuff here. And then he says, immediately after, at the end of this period, immediately after the tribulation of those days, this is going to happen. The sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven. And the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So some kind of cosmic chaos is going on. He says, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. We don't know what that sign is. Some people guess. It might be a cross. Might be something else. But the sign will appear. Not him yet. And it says, and then look at this. It says, all the tribes of the earth will mourn. Now see, not to be confused with the rapture. The rapture, we're looking forward to our blessed hope. Christians are going, yes, come Lord Jesus. I can't wait. But here it says the tribes of the earth will mourn. Why would they be mourning? Because they're not ready for him. No, they're scared. They know that the judge is coming and they're going to be judged. He says, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So again, the majority of people are going to be just absolutely scared to death. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This is, in my opinion, the sheep and goats judgment. Right at the end, Jesus comes back. He separates the sheep from the goats. The goats are going to go into hell, basically, until they get to the lake of fire. And then the sheep will move into the millennial kingdom. That's what this is right here.
This is the second coming, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then verse 32. He says, now learn this parable from the fig tree. And many scholars have always said that the fig tree represents Israel. When its branch has already become tender and it puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, now remember he's talking to Israel, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Now these may be things that they see after we're gone, after the rapture occurs. We don't know how much time will be between the rapture and the beginning of the seven-year period. Might be a couple days, might be a couple years. We don't know. But these things that Israel is seeing could happen even after the rapture. They might see some, we might see some with them before we're taken up. But he's saying, he's talking to Israel and he's saying, you're going to see some of these signs. And when you do, know that it's near. He said, assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Now, this has led to a lot of controversy. Hal Lindsey wrote the book, The Late Great Planet Earth, and he had this formula, and he said, well, Israel became a nation in 1948, a generation in the Bible is 40 years, so everything's going to be said and done by 1988, which is 40 years from 1948. So he says, so the rapture is going to have to happen by 1981, 7 years before that. And he wrote this book in the 70s. And everybody's going, oh, wow, rapture's going to occur, you know, before 1981 or right around 1981 because all this stuff has to happen by 1988. Of course, it didn't happen. And people started guessing, well, maybe a generation of 70 years and maybe you go from 1948. And some scholars said, no, you go from 1967 because that's when they had the Six-Day War, and they retook parts of Jerusalem. So you calculate it from there, 40 years from 1967 and so forth. And they just keep doing this. But what he's simply saying is, he's talking to them, and he says, when you start to see these things happening, which might be around the time of the rapture or shortly after, he says, these things are going to happen very rapidly after that, and this generation is not going to pass away. So people that see this is probably going to happen in the next 9 or 10 years or even in the next 7 years. We're not sure when, but it's not going to be 40 and it's not going to be 70. He's just saying the generation that's alive, if you're alive at this time and you see these things, it's going to happen in your lifetime. Yeah, that's all he's saying.
The word generation in my Bible means, it can mean, either mean this age mm-hmm. or this nation.
Yeah.
That's what it says. Will not pass from
I think he's telling Israel right here, when you see mm-hmm. these things, it's going to happen in your lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, so expect it. And he says, in other words, he says, don't think, oh, it's going, you know, it's going to be way down the road. I don't have to worry about it. He's not saying that. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. In other words, you better listen to me.
So let's clarify something here with this chosen
absolutely.
Ones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the chosen ones are the ones that are living at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it says chosen ones several places here.
Oh, in your translation?
Yeah. Verse 31 says, and they will gather his chosen ones from all over the world.
Oh, yeah, mine says elect, and yours says chosen ones.
Right,
yeah.
So mm-hmm.
that would be
so
the
that
sheep.
Would be the, right, the ones that are going through the tribulation that have kept the faith.
Yeah, exactly. Yes,
okay.
You're right. Okay. Now we get to the really difficult passage. Really difficult passage. He says, but of that day and hour... And still, he's talking about the second coming. No one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, let's clear up something right here, too. He says, my Father only. That means Jesus doesn't know either. And people know this is Jesus speaking. Well, he's alive. He's doing his ministry. He's still alive right here. We have to understand that Jesus, as a human, did not know. But he knows now. But as a human, he had limitations. And so he could say, only my Father knows. But a lot of people say, well, Jesus doesn't even know now. I don't believe that because God is omniscient. Jesus is God the Father, so he has to be omniscient, so he has to know. But he didn't know then because he was in his fleshly body. That's my opinion on that. And I've had other people say the same thing. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So he's making a comparison. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. In other words, they were just going about their business. You know, you think about these people watching Noah build this boat, you know, and that old crazy man, what's he building that great big boat for, you know, and they're just going about their business. Until the day that Noah entered the ark, he got in that ark, God shut the door and it started raining. And they did not know until... They did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, the reason this is so difficult is this next passage. It says, then, or you could say at that time, two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Now, many, many people say that this is talking about the rapture or the church, you know, and it looks like that on the surface. You know, you got two people and one's zapped up and the other's left behind. It sure looks like the rapture. But we have to remember that scholars tell us, and I agree with them, that this is still talking about Israel here. And the church doesn't even come into view here.
Is that the sheep and goats?
I think that's what that is.
Well, I've got it wrote down there. That's
yeah, I think. And notice he says, watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. We don't have to watch for the rapture. We hope for it. We're looking forward to it. But we don't have to be scared that we're going to get caught by the rapture, we won't be ready. We don't have that. Christians don't have that attitude. They shouldn't have that attitude. And so, yes, I believe that's what this is referring to. That, but the controversy is who is who here. I looked up the words, and that word taken, one is taken, The Greek for that is called paralambano, and it means to receive next to or to receive near. It also means to associate with oneself, and it can mean take away. And the word for left, people that are left, is aphiemi. It's called aphiemi. And it can mean to be forsaken, but it also can mean to just be let alone. So some people say, well, the ones that are taken out by Jesus, and the ones that are left behind to go into the millennial kingdom. I think that's J. Vernon McGee's take on that, and Mark Hitchcock.
Taken away,
yeah.
Okay.
Taken away, they won't go to hell, and the ones that are left are allowed to go into the millennial kingdom.
Yeah.
So this would be just the opposite of the rapture, because at the rapture, the ones that are taken are the ones that go up to be with Jesus in the air. And the ones that are left, nothing really happens to them. They just keep going on with their lives. Okay, they're not judged after that. And so this is just the opposite, the complete opposite of what the rapture would be. The part that is really hard to understand is the fact that the time of the second coming, you know, we have the trumpet judgments, we have the seals and trumpets and the bowls, and those trumpets and the bowls come rapidly toward the end of the tribulation period. We studied that. Now, with all these disasters and judgments happening on the earth, how can people just be marrying and giving in marriage and just going through life as normal? That's what's so confusing about this. And I read a commentary as I was studying for this, and that guy posed that question. He said, how can people just be... I mean, back in Noah's day, they weren't being judged. They didn't have disasters coming upon them. They were just watching Noah build this boat. But here, all these things are happening. They can't be planning for the future. They're just trying to make through next day.
What does McGee say? What did he say?
He didn't really talk about that aspect. And most of them don't. Most of them don't mention this problem. But it is an issue. And the only thing that I can come up with is that Jesus is saying, you know, he told them before this, the passage before this, he said, when you see these signs coming, be ready. You know, when you see these things coming, it's going to happen fast. This generation is not going to pass away. It's going to happen in your lifetime. And so I think what he means is, he's not talking about the rapture, but he's not talking about the very, very end of the second coming. He's saying a little bit before this time, maybe right before the treaty's signed, he's going to say, you know, people are going to be going about their business the way they normally do. But once all these things start happening, they're going to happen one after the other. And then it's like Noah getting into the boat, and when it starts raining, it didn't flood right away. It rained for 40 days, 40 nights. The fountains of the deep blew up, and it took a little while for that water to rise up.
Well, it's saying, though, right before that, this is like in the day of Noah. Well, in the day of Noah, they were just going about their own business.
Mm-hmm. And like I say, when the rains hit, it didn't flood right away. It took a little while.
Okay.
So I'm thinking he's saying, what he's saying is, it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. Mm-hmm. People are going to be going about their business, and then all of a sudden the trumpet judgment's going to hit, the bowl judgment's going to hit, and it's going to be too late.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people look at that and go, well, he's talking about the very end, but not necessarily. He's telling them, he just told them, these things are going to happen, and when they start happening, be ready. Mm-hmm. So that's what I believe is talking about here. And I believe with all my heart that these verses 40 and 40, 41, 42, 40 and 41 are talking about the sheep and goats judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says after that, but know this, that the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into.
Yeah.
Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. So he says all these things are going to be happening when you don't expect it. Now, the people that make it through are still alive, whether they're still alive, right toward the end of tribulation. They, let me see here, let me read this again. For be ready for the Son of Man coming an hour you do not expect. By that time, they should be expecting him, if they know the scriptures at all. By that time, the earth is about ready to just blow up. And so many things, the water's already been polluted. You know, all these things have been, all the animals, all the sea creatures have died. You've had perhaps nuclear explosions. You've had meteors hit the earth. You've had all these things happen. And so they're going to be expecting somebody. It's not, I don't think they're going to be that surprised myself when this happens. Especially, well, the ones that aren't going to be surprised are the ones that have followed, you know, and had good, strong faith. But I think he's saying that, you know, you're going to get to the point where all these things are going to start happening, and then it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. So he says, you know, keep watch, keep watch. But again, you can see where people would confuse this for the rapture. But what you have to remember is it's not talking about the church at all. Mm-mm. It's not talking about the church. Paul was the one basically that said, hey, I'm going to show you a mystery. And people up at that time had no clue anything about the rapture. Paul, I'm going to tell you something. Holy Spirit revealed to me, you know, this is what's going to happen. The Lord's going to descend with a shout, and not everyone is going to die. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we're going to be caught up to be with the Lord in the air.
Yeah, and this talks about Jesus returning. When it's a rapture, Jesus don't return.
No. Now we go to meet him. Yeah. He comes to a point, and then we go and meet with him. So, right, it's not so much him coming, but us going.
Yes.
That's going to happen. And so, well, let's just go ahead and finish the chapter. We're that far. I didn't know we'd get that far. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. Okay, so again, this kind of reflects the theory that I have that the people need to maintain their faith, because this servant would be a Jewish person that has come to Christ, or a Gentile that has come to Christ and had faith in Christ. It says, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. We don't have to worry about that. You know, Christians don't have to worry about that. Mm-mm. And so, but he's saying, I will make him ruler over all his goods. And well, that sounds like, you know, people that go into the millennial kingdom, you know, some of them will have, you know, positions of power and all that. And so that could be what that's referring to. But he says, but if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. In other words, he doesn't maintain the faith, and he falls into sin. Mm-hmm. The master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portions with the hypocrites. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's what's going to happen at the second coming. And so he says, you had better maintain your faith. You had better continue to do the things you need to do. And that's exactly what he was talking about at the end. It says in Matthew 25, where he, after he separates the sheep from the goats, and he says, when you did these things to these other people, you did it to me. And when you didn't do these things to all these people, then you did not do this to me. I'm representing these. Mm-hmm. And so he's saying, when you did not do these. So he is basing, whether they go into the millennial kingdom or not, he is basing that on their behavior. And he's saying, you're going to have to maintain your behavior. And there's just so many verses about
that's
this.
What you taught us in January 13th, 2021, because I got it right here, Brother V.
All right.
These people have to maintain their faith.
Yeah. Now, you know, there are a lot of people, lots and lots of people, who don't agree with that. You know, they say during the tribulation, everyone's saved just like they've always been saved by grace and all
that.
That's
what the Old Testament saying, or had to do.
Right.
Wasn't it?
Right. But Again, if you believe that, you're going to have a hard time with these scriptures because it certainly is not talking about Christians here. It's talking about the people that are alive during the tribulation period and what they're going to have to do in order to find favor with God. And it's going to be based on behavior and not based on grace. According to these scriptures, I see it pointing that way. So this has been a wonderful study. Again, there are different theories about this. And what I presented is I believe it to be accurate. But, you know, there's going to be others that are going to disagree. And they probably have, you know, decent theories themselves. But the main thing to understand, this is about Israel. It's not about the church. It's not about salvation. It's about Israel getting through to that period of time when they will eventually go into the millennial kingdom and be the preeminent nation. So let's pray. Dear Lord, there's a lot here, Lord. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit's guidance. We thank you for your scriptures. We thank you for giving us understanding. And we pray that we can relate that to other people in a way that they will be able to understand, because the fact that Israel is involved and not the church means that we're going to be spared from all this, dear Lord. And it's so wonderful to have such a wonderful, loving Heavenly Father like you are that will keep us from this and rescue us from your wrath. And we thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name, amen.